O divine providence, this assemblage is composed of thy friends who are attracted to thy beauty and are set ablaze by the fire of thy love. Turn these souls into heavenly angels. Resuscitate them through the breath of the Holy Spirit. Grant them eloquent tongues and resolute hearts. Bestow upon them heavenly power and merciful susceptibilities. Cause them to become the promulgators of the oneness of humankind and the cause of love and concord in the world of humanity, so that the perilous darkness of ignorant prejudice may vanish through the light of the Sun of Truth. This dreary world may become illumined. This material realm may absorb the rays of the world of spirit. These different colors may merge into one color, and the melody of praise may rise to the kingdom of thy sanctity. Verily, thou art the omnipotent and the almighty Abdu'l-Bahá.
Hence the unity of all mankind can in this day be achieved. Verily, this is none other than but one of those wonders of this wondrous age, this glorious century. Of this past ages have been deprived. For this century, the century of lights, has been endowed with unique and unprecedented glory, power, and illumination. Behold how its light is now dawning upon the world's darkest horizons. The first candle is unity in the political realm, the early glimmings of which can now be discerned. The second candle is unity of thought in the world of undertakings, the consummation of which will ere long be witnessed. The third candle is unity in freedom, which will surely come to pass. The fourth candle is unity in religion, which is the cornerstone of the foundation itself, and which, by the power of God, will be revealed in all its splendor. The fifth candle is the unity of nations, unity which in this century will be securely established, causing all the peoples of the world to regard themselves as citizens of one common fatherland. The sixth candle is unity of races, making all that dwell on earth peoples and kindreds of one race. The seventh candle is unity of language, the choice of a universal tongue in which all the peoples will be instructed in converse. Each and every one of these will inevitably come to pass, inasmuch as the power of the kingdom of God will aid and assist in their realization. Abdu'l-Bahá, the World Order of Baha'u'lláh.
Prayers for love and unity. O God, my God, aid thou thy trusted servants to have loving and tender hearts. Help them to spread amongst all the nations of the earth the light of guidance that cometh from the company on high. Verily, thou art the strong, the powerful, the mighty, the all-subduing, the ever-giving. Verily, thou art the generous, the gentle, the tender, the most bountiful.
Prayer from Abdu'l-Bahá. O sincere servant of the True One, I hear thou art grieved and distressed at the happenings of the world and the vicissitudes of fortune. Wherefore this fear and sorrow? The true lovers of the Abha beauty and they that have quaffed the cup of the covenant fear no calamity, nor feel depressed in the hour of trial. They regard the fire of adversity as their garden of delight, and the depth of the sea, the expanse of heaven. Thou art neath the shelter of God, and under the shadow of the tree of his covenant. Why sorrow and repine? Rest thou assured and feel confident. Observe the written commandments of thy Lord with joy and peace, with earnestness and sincerity, and be thou the well-wisher of thy country and thy government. His grace shall assist thee at all times. His blessings shall be bestowed upon thee, and thy heart's desire shall be realized.
The principle of oneness. Let there be no mistake. The principle of oneness of mankind, the pivot round which all the teachings of Baha'u'llah revolve, is no mere outburst of ignorant emotionalism or an expression of vague and pious hope. Its appeal is not to be merely identified with a reawakening of the spirit of brotherhood and goodwill among men, nor does it aim solely at the fostering of harmonious cooperation among individual peoples and nations. Its implications are deeper, its claims are greater than any which the prophets of old were allowed to advance. Its message is applicable not only to the individual, but concerns itself primarily with the nature of those essential relationships that must bind all the states and nations as members of one human family. It does not constitute merely the enunciation of an ideal, but stands inseparably associated with an institution adequate to embody its truth, demonstrate its validity, and perpetuate its influence. It implies an organic change in the structure of present-day society, a change such as the world has not yet experienced. It constitutes a challenge, at once bold and universal, to outworn shibboleths of national creeds, creeds that have had their day and which must, in the ordinary course of events as shaped and controlled by Providence, give way to a new gospel, fundamentally different from and infinitely superior to what the world has already conceived. It calls for no less than the reconstruction and demilitarization of the whole civilized world, a world organically unified in all the essential aspects of its life, its political machinery, its spiritual aspiration, its trade and finance, its script and language, and yet infinite in the diversity of the national characteristics of its federated units. It represents the consummation of human evolution, an evolution that has its earliest beginnings in the birth of family life, its subsequent development and achievement of tribal solidarity, leading in turn to the constitution of the city-state and expanding later into the institution of independent and sovereign nations. The principle of the oneness of mankind, as proclaimed by Baha'u'llah, carries with it no more and no less than a solemn assertion that attainment to this final stage in this stupendous evolution is not only necessary, but inevitable, and that its realization is fast approaching, and nothing short of a power that is born of God can succeed in establishing it. That's Shoghi Effendi, from The Goal of a New World Order.
I'm going to read from a letter to the Congo from the Universal House of Justice. The powers of the human soul have throughout history and across the planet been manifested in many forms of custom, knowledge, and culture. The diversity endows the human family with richness, just as differently colored flowers enrich a garden. Diversity gives society natural beauty and strength. Consider, Abdu'l-Bahá explains, the flowers of a garden, though different in kind, color, form, and shape, yet inasmuch as they are refreshed by the waters of one spring, revived by the breath of one wind, invigorated by the rays of one sun, this diversity increaseth their charm and addeth unto their beauty. In like manner, he adds, when diverse shades of thought, temperament, and character are brought together under the power and influence of one central agency, the beauty and the glory of human perfection will be revealed and made manifest. Unity in diversity, not uniformity, is thus the watchword for Baha'i's teachings.
Praised be thou, O God, my God. These are the days whereon thou hast enjoined thy chosen ones, thy loved ones, and thy servants to observe the fast, which thou hast made a light unto the people of thy kingdom. Even as thou didst make obligatory prayer a ladder of ascent unto those who acknowledge thy unity. I beg of thee, O my God, by these two mighty pillars, which thou hast ordained as a glory and honor for all mankind, to keep thy religion safe from the mischief of the ungodly and the plotting of every wicked doer. O Lord, conceal not the light which thou hast revealed through thy strength and thine omnipotence. Assist me then, and those who truly believe in thee, with the hosts of the seen and the unseen, by thy command and thy sovereignty. No God is there but thee, the Almighty, the Most Powerful. Baha'u'llah.
The aim of the appearance of the Blessed Perfection, may my life be a sacrifice for his loved beloved ones, was the unity and agreement of all the peoples of the world. Therefore, my utmost desire, firstly, is the accord and union and love of the believers, and after that, of all the peoples of the world. Now, if unity and agreement is not established among the believers, I will become heartbroken and the afflictions will leave a greater imprint upon me. But if the fragrance of love and unity among the believers is wafted to my nostrils, every trial will become a mercy, every unhappiness a joy, every difficulty an expansion, every misery a treasure, and every hardship a felicity. Abdul Baha.
Oh my God, oh my God, unite the hearts of thy servants and reveal to them thy great purpose. May they follow thy commandments and abide in thy law. Help them, O God, in their endeavor, and grant them strength to serve thee. O God, leave them not to themselves, but guide their steps by the light of thy knowledge and cheer their hearts by thy love. Verily, thou art their helper and their Lord. Baha'u'llah.
When you meet those whose opinions differ from your own, do not turn away your face from them. All are seeking truth, and there are many roads leading thereto. Truth has many aspects, but it remains always and forever one. Do not allow differences of opinion or diversity of thought to separate you from your fellow man, or to be the cause of dispute, hatred, and strife in your hearts. Rather, search diligently for the truth and make all men your friends.